Dean, can I guess what the big announcement is going to be this morning about a summer concert at Soldier Field?
Yeah, they're making a big deal announcement at Soldier Field at 10 o'clock this morning, completely in a secret. And Bob's prediction for this will be?
Paul McCartney.
Oh.
What do you think?
It's not going to be. I don't think it's going to be Paul McCartney.
No, why not? He hasn't been here in a while.
Well, that it would be fantastic if that were the case. I would love that. I think it's going to be Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks together, and here's why I think that. Because they're already running commercials on television saying that.
Well, that's a good clue.
Even though they have not made their official announcement yet. I'm sitting here wondering, well, I wonder what this is going to be, and should I be there? And, you know, I need to get a camera crew. You know, I'm thinking all these, like, big shot TV decisions. And then a commercial comes up on the morning show here saying it. So I presume, unless it's something else, I presume that that's what it's going to be, since commercials are running. I'm not exactly being Pam Zuckman here with investigative work.
Well, maybe they just ran the commercial there to throw you off.
Throw me off. Maybe it is going to be Paul McCartney. Very true. Well, we'll see. When we find out, we'll let everybody know.
Okay, that's coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. Let's talk about the Golden Globes. We have a little news in that department, don't we?
Yeah, I can't believe that they're here already. It'll be on Sunday. This year it's going to be on CBS. That's a big change. Normally it's an NBC show. Normally this is the award show where people like to watch because everybody gets drunk. And it's, you know, freewheeling, and it's been Ricky Gervais, and it's been Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, and, you know, making fun of the people, the big A-listers who are all sitting there. This year, they had a hard time finding a host for the show, because the organization that puts on the Golden Globes, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, has gone through some major controversy. And they say that they have fixed all of the things for which they were accused. So all that is back on track. But a lot of people didn't want to be associated with the Golden Globes. But they did find a host. It is comedian Joe Coy, who I think is one of the funniest comedians there is. He's a longtime friend and has been a guest on WGN radio and TV for years when he was, you know, as I like to call him, a baby comedian back in the day, you know, going to Zany's and the Improv in Schaumburg and his little small clubs. Last year, he sold out the United Center, so things have changed quite a bit for Joe Coy. But he will be the host of the Golden Globes this year. And in an interview with Variety magazine, he says he's pretty nervous about it because this is a very, very different kind of job than he has done before. Said that making fun of Barbie and Oppenheimer is pretty different than making fun of his mom and his son, which is what he normally does in his stand-up routine. We're going to talk to him later on, so tomorrow we'll have some sound from Joe telling us how he's getting ready and how he's going to thank us for all of his success.
You know,
tribute WGN with all of his success.
Are the Golden Globes still a predictor of the Oscars or not?
I don't think it has been for really quite a long time. It's been all over the place as far as the Golden Globes. And the reason for that, I think, is because this is one of the controversies that the Hollywood Foreign Press Association has had. It's been a very, very small group of people. You know, the people who vote for the Academy Awards number in the thousands, people who are in the industry, people who vote for the Golden Globes. It had been about 60 people. And they were reporters, entertainment reporters from around the world. I mean, dopes like me deciding that. So it's, you know, to me, it really has never been a very credible predictor of it. And I would say the last 15 years hasn't even really come close to predicting what the Oscars are going to be. The Critics' Choice Awards, which are a week from Sunday, has been a better indicator of that. But, I mean, it's just all over the place now. It's pretty hard to predict what's gonna happen. It may narrow the field down a little bit. If we see certain, the next 2 weeks, if we see certain movies or performers, getting big victories, because the Oscar voting is hasn't started yet, but also isn't done, so it may influence people who are voting for Academy Awards, may influence their votes of what they ultimately decide to pick. Mm-hmm. But you didn't expect a 12-minute answer to that question.
That's okay.
Wow.
I would expect nothing less from Dopey Dean. And we'll get more entertainment news coming up momentarily. Let's talk some music news here. So much for Rage Against the Machine, huh?
Yeah, a hugely popular rock and roll band. Just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in November, but the broadcast was just on television over this past weekend. A lot of people had been waiting for them to reschedule shows that had been canceled because of injuries. Now it looks like that may never happen. Apparently, the band is calling it quits again. This would be the third time now. The drummer of the group, Brad Wilk, put a message on Instagram yesterday, say they will not be touring nor playing live ever again. They broke up in 2000. They broke up in 2011 while they were touring in 2022 at the United Center. The lead singer of the group, Zach De La Rocha, ruptured his Achilles tendon. He tried to continue performing sitting down, but they canceled the rest of that tour. So that's why people were hoping, well, maybe they would come around again. But looks like it's not going to be, according to the Instagram message that came out yesterday. The guitarist of the group, Tom Morello, who is from Libertyville, by the way, was the only member of the band to attend the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. So there's apparently not really great blood, going on with the gentlemen of this particular musical organization.
Sounds like it. I'm a big Sherlock Holmes fan, always have been. So I'm curious about the new Dr. Watson. Tell us about this.
Yeah, recently Dr. Watson was played by Lucy Liu in the CBS series Elementary. Now they're launching another series, which is based on the Watson character, Dr. John Watson. It's going to be called Watson. It was going to be on CBS again. And this time will star actor Morris Chestnut, who had been, he's been in lots of rom-coms, lots, mostly comedies, I guess. But he will take over the role, resuming his career as an investigator following the death of his pipe-smoking friend, Sherlock Holmes. Did you used to watch the Sherlock Holmes movies that they used to show? I think it was on Channel 9 back in the day.
Always. I think on Sunday, Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce. And yeah. Basil Rathbone came to Chicago and the Channel 9 studios and did some intros to those movies.
Oh, those are the greatest. Those are the greatest. That and you get the Lynn Burton for certain commercials interspersed. It was just an afternoon of complete joy.
That's entertainment.
Yep.
I haven't seen Maestro yet. I know it's streaming now, but it seems to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, isn't that a movie you should see on a big screen with big sound?
With big sound would be great. I mean, a lot of people now have big sound and very sophisticated systems at home, but sadly, this movie is only showing in one theater in the Chicago area. I cannot stand when the studios do this. It's only at the Landmark Century Theater right now. And the reason why it's there is because a movie has to be shown theatrically in a theater in order for it to be eligible for Oscar nominations. That's the only reason that it's there, because this is a Netflix movie, and they want you to go to Netflix to go and see it, which you'll still enjoy the movie. It's a powerful movie, powerful performances. The work and attention to detail that Bradley Cooper put into this, not only portraying Leonard Bernstein, but as the writer, as the producer, as the director of this film, is tangible. It is powerful. Kerry Mulligan plays his wife, Felicia, and the story is about both his professional life as one of the world's most famous conductors, but also as a husband and father. When I was in New York at the New York Film Festival, that's when I got to see this movie, and I saw it at the Lincoln Center, where Leonard Bernstein used to actually conduct the New York Philharmonic Orchestra, so it was a little powerful to be there. And also with us at that particular screening were the real-life children of Leonard Bernstein. His three kids, Jamie, Alexander, and Nina, who I was able to sit down and talk with. And we got some really interesting kind of behind-the-scenes insights into what Bernstein was really like.
How would you describe what he was like as a dad? Just as plain old dad, not conductor Leonard Bernstein.
Well, he wasn't ever really a plain old dad. He was such an unusual person. But he really loved being around us. We never felt unwelcome in his presence. And he loved to play games with us and share word games and rhyme games. And so there was this sense of play.
The other thing is that he was so funny. Yeah. And he loved to laugh. Both of our parents loved to laugh. And he could tell jokes better than anybody.
A very special thing was being in the car with him. You were risking your life, of course. He was he was a dangerous driver. But that's probably because he was so engaged talking to us. And one of the things he liked to do was play catch-up. And catch-up was turning on the radio to the pop station to see what the new music was. Now, in your day, that was a wonderful thing, because the new Beatles hit, the new Birds hit, the Kinks.
Motown.
All of which he loved. But by the time I was having the catch-ups with Daddy in the car, it was the 70s. And that
disco.
It was
Archie's.
Dog do.
So much has been made of Bradley's physical transformation, which now that I've seen the movie, I just can't even believe it. Anybody would have criticized it.
And when he went through, he would have to start getting ready at 1 in the morning so that he would be in Lenny mode by the time the crew arrived. The lengths he went to achieve the effects that he got are just staggering.
They're heroic. And also the voice. What nobody really has talked about is his ability to channel the voice,
which changed over time, of course.
Right. I mean, the young Lenny is easily half an octave higher than old Lenny.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that is just heroic and spot on.
Yeah, that's another thing about this movie. I mean, some people were criticizing the use of a prosthetic nose, saying that it was a bad caricature of Jewish people by wearing that. But it's not overly pronounced. Just makes him look a little bit more like the real Lenny.
Mm-hmm.
And his kids, you know, were perfectly fine, you know, with the way Bradley Cooper wound up looking in this movie. So
interesting. I want to see it. All right, stay tuned for the surprise announcement that Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks are coming to Soldier Field this summer
with their special guest Paul McCartney. Mom's Mabley.
Cool. How old is this guy? Thanks, Dean.
See you later.
Talk to you tomorrow.